Please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, my dear listeners, to the Mountain Pass Podcast. The new adventures of the Mountain Pass Podcast. I need to get that right. This is your host, as always, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is July 28th, 2022. Another 15 days to flatten the curve here in the great state of Washington, where we are still under an executive order for a state of emergency, which is never going to go away as long as Governor Jay Inslee is governor. Now that we got that out of the way, this is the... I have a bad habit of not having names for the episode. We'll figure it out. We're going to go on an adventure together. We'll figure it out as we're going along with this podcast. If some of you are disappointed, and not disappointed, if some of you are just wondering or curious or longing, yearning, full of great desire for additional podcasts from me and wondering, TJ, why is it taking so long for you to record a new podcast? The answer is quite simple. I've been out having fun. It's been beautiful every single day for the last 2 weeks. I have driven my car precisely once in the entirety of the last 2 weeks. I've been on my motorcycle every single day. It's been beautiful weather. I have my retro Americana helmet that I'm wearing with my bike, and then I got my bomber jacket on. People love it. I get cheers and people applauding me on the road. Other motorcyclists like it. Life is good. So that's why I've been out just enjoying life. I'm planning a hike, even though it's going to be 100 degrees outside tomorrow. I'm going to go for an adventure somewhere. I haven't done a lot of hiking. Honestly, guys, this has been the first year in a long time I've not done a lot of hiking, but it's been kind of a combination of the fact that I've kind of hiked everything that there is to hike, but mainly it's just been the gas prices. And I really don't want to hike. You got to drive a long ways to get to certain places. And also I was just realizing, if I was going to hike what I wanted to hike tomorrow, some of them, the trailheads are not, they're on dirt roads and I would prefer to ride my motorcycle, but I'm not keen on riding it on some of these roads. I actually have I have an old, film camera I'm going to take with me, and hopefully it'll work while I take photos, but, been wanting to do that as well. Just doing different stuff, trying out different things. I also have been, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, I'm going to go with the answer is no, but I've been actually, for the past 7 months, I've been learning how to do dancing. And when you're thinking like what kind of dancing, I'm thinking of East Coast Swing, Bachata, Cha-Cha, Waltz, the salsa, like, and I know basic moves for each of these. I really don't know a whole lot for many of them. And then tango as well. I really don't know much about some of the dances, but I'm actually not rehearsing. I've been taking private lessons because I'm going to be doing a showcase performance at the dance. I guess they call it a ballroom. So I'm going to be doing East Coast Swing and Cha-Cha. So I just got back from a private lesson with my instructor. So we've been going on that. It's been fun. Gotta say, it's been fun. And because what happened is I was reading a couple books by a guy who grew up in the 50s, and he was talking about high school dancing. And I was like, you know, that was kind of something that we missed out on in my generation. We really didn't have a lot of these opportunities for dancing. Dancing, by the time we millennials got around, it got pretty crappy, not gonna lie. The disco thing was okay. I mean, if you've seen John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever, but it's you know what it is, it's solo dancing. You're not really dancing holding someone's hand. And what's so funny about millennials, you know, my generation and other people, is we have a huge problem with like holding the hand of a complete stranger and enjoying and having a good time, right? I remember years ago I was at weddings and I wanted to go like dance with some gal, like just to have fun. And they would freak out, like, you know, like you were asking them out on a date. And it's like, no, I just want to dance with you. Like, you look like you're, you'd be good to dance with and we can have fun and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what it is. I think that it's kind of like with Zoomers, you know, or at least the younger generation where, you know, if you haven't met them online, they can't just go up to you in person and talk. They can't talk to you guys. I need to see your social media accounts. I need to see your Instagrams and your TikTok and your whatever not other crap that they watch or do or whatever. I just took a swig of drink, in case you're wondering. I got my drink. I got my wine. I got a good view of the mountains at the moment, so we are in a state of I don't even say nirvana. Nirvana is kind of too much of an Eastern thing. I'm thinking more of like Valhalla. You know, I got my weapons. I've got my World War II memorabilia and my artifacts and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like I'm in Valhalla more than Nirvana. But what I was going to talk about on this podcast is it pertains to the fact that I'm talking about the dancing stuff right now. So I've gotten pretty good at it. I've gotten a little bit more. I've gotten more confident. I've felt way more comfortable than when I first started. And we're going to get right to the point. I was having a conversation with another man about this issue because when I first started dancing, it was really awkward for me. We were doing group lessons. I didn't know what I was doing. I was slow to learning. There were people who were half my age who were much better than me. So I was the dumb one in the room and it felt really awkward, but I still kept going and I pushed past that point where, you know, the learning curve where I was, you know, behind everyone else, but then you just start picking up and then you get better and better and better to the point where you feel comfortable. And this is the thing we were discussing is the fact that men tend to avoid things that they are not naturally competent at. Men do not like to do things where they're struggling, particularly when they're struggling and there's someone who's, you know, 10, 15 years younger than them who has already figured it out. And my thought is, and what I said to him is, and that's a problem. That's a huge problem if you're a man. If you're a man, you need to be willing. There are some things that you're just not ever going to be good at, and that's okay. You're not going to be an expert. I'm thinking more of if there's stuff that you're just not good at, you're never going to be good at it, and that's okay. You know, we can't be perfect at everything. There's balance to the universe. If you're really good at some stuff, you're going to suck at other things. That's just how it's going to work out in life, ladies and gentlemen. There is no perfect person. But at the same time, there's things that you can get good at if you just are willing to push past that phase where it's awkward and you feel uncomfortable and you kind of feel like it's really poking at some insecurity to your ego. You got to push past that. You got to be willing to take the licks, take the hits, you know, fail, and then you push past. Like that's the key part of everything. I've always said the same thing about like weightlifting or whatever you're doing. You're going to encounter failure. And the question is, what do you do with that? And it's okay to fail initially and make mistakes. That's okay. You got to be willing to go past that. Because if you don't, then you just avoid things that you... If you don't even try, you're never going to get... You end up becoming really great at some things, and then you're just terrible at other things. And my thought is that you should be kind of... I'm not saying the jack of all... The thing about a jack of all trades is they are competent at everything. They are masters of nothing. I didn't make that up. It was an observation somebody made. Is being a jack of all trades means that you're competent. You can do everything, but you're not the master of anything. And I'm not saying that you should be the jack of all trades. There's some people who want to be the master, like they want to be an Olympian. They want to be the best of the best at something, and they are. I mean, if you're watching the Top Gun movies, Maverick is the best of the best when it comes to being a Navy fighter pilot, but he is not the best of the best in other aspects of his life. There are people who are just far more successful, like financially. There's other people who've moved up in the Navy. He's still a captain. He's like the oldest ranking captain in the Navy in the new movie, which you should go see. And then you should watch or listen to my podcast about White Boy Summer too. And if you haven't downloaded the rules, download the rules and you need to adhere to them. Which I have. That's why I haven't been recording any podcasts. If the sky is blue and wide, you ride. I've been doing that every single day. Rather than recording podcasts, we're going to tangenting, just forewarning. The other thing is that I've just noticed that with men, eventually we run out of things to say and we need to go do stuff. And that's part of the problem with social media and social media content and content providers and influencers. They just talk because that's part of their job. But at some point, for a man, you learn that sometimes you don't say anything at all. There's nothing to say, or that your silence is far more effective than the words you're going to say. So I think at every point in a man who's on social media, you should kind of be like, yeah, I've said what I need to say for right now, and I'm going to step back and just, you know, focus on other stuff. That's what I've been doing. I've been focusing on, I've been reading books that I've been wanting to read. I've been going on adventures that I've wanted to go on. I've been just doing other things that I've been, not on a checklist, but I'm interested in it. I'm intrigued. I'm willing to give it a shot, you know, and spend time doing it. I'm actually doing some other type of dancing as well. I've just started doing line dancing, like Western style line dancing, which also requires me to drive a long distance. But I, again, know nothing about it, not good at it right now, but I'm having fun. And, you know, you meet new people and it's a social activity. And especially with Western, I assume that you run into people who kind of share, you know, I'm not too much into the Western motif. Like, there's some people who are really into the Western identity, the Western or whatever it is, but, you know, Western style culture. They tend to share similar values on some stuff, which is, you know, nice, especially when you live in the Pacific Northwest. But it's just stuff like, it's getting me out of the house. I've actually not done a lot of stuff around the house. My old house was far more conducive about, you know, like the front porch had a huge, my old house had a, there was the porch deck, and then there was the whole front yard with the garden, and it had a view of the hills. So sometimes I would just go out there, sit on my front deck porch, smoke my pipe, have my smoker going, have a drink, attend to the garden, whatever, and just enjoy the day. Not really conducive at my or appropriate for my new house. It's just not the environment. Which is a life lesson as far as buying homes is concerned. So the next house I buy, at some point, I'll be thinking about that stuff. But this is why, like with other dancing, the Western dancing, it was awkward because, you know, especially when you don't know anybody there, you don't know anybody, you don't know kind of the feel for the room. I tend not to be the kind of guy who walks in and just acts really cocky or arrogant or super confident in something that I'm not. It's just not my personality type. I feel like the fake it till you make it thing, in some circumstances, sure, but not in the kind that I'm really interested in. Not the kind of stuff I'm interested in, because people assume that you know something and you don't know it. And that's where you kind of, as in my mind, you got to be honest and just be like, I have no idea what I'm doing. People are going to just have to understand that and accept that. And I'm, you know, we'll learn, but what ends up happening, I see this with guys where they encounter failure early on and then they quit. I kind of like with motorcycle riding, you know, some guy drops his bike, he feels humiliated and he puts it away and never rides it again. As in contrast, I dropped my bike. It was not exactly a minor incident. And, you know, I'll leave it at that. And people said to me, what are you going to do? And I said, as soon as possible, I'm going to get the bike fixed and I'm getting back on it. And then I just started practicing. I researched what I had done wrong that had caused the bike to drop. I figured it out. I started working on my confidence again. And so this isn't me bragging on. I'm a real man. I'm just saying, this is me making an observation about how I see things, where as a man, if you want to learn something, you want to do something, you have to accept that failure is going to be part of it in the initial experience. You're going to have to deal with the failure. And rather than feel humiliated or shamed or embarrassed or insecure, you look at the failure saying, okay, what am I doing wrong? And what do I need to do differently? And what do I need to work on in order to improve that? Like, everything takes practice. Now, I'm not saying that you should do this for everything. There's some things where you try it out and it's like, you know what? No matter how much effort I put into this, I don't have the aptitude. I don't have, you know, there's natural aptitude, there's natural talent, there's natural instincts. There's some things that you're just not good at, or I think, moreover, you don't have the enthusiasm for it. If you don't have the enthusiasm and the passion for it that's just naturally there, and you're doing it for an ulterior reason, yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing it, because you're not... Passion or enthusiasm and momentum will push you through a lot of that stuff. But I think it goes back to my view of, you know, people, I hear people talking all the time about, you know, this guy's a real man or this, you know, whatever, real men. And I think about all the different things that, in my opinion, a real man does. And I think I did a real men's episode on this. I can't keep track of this stuff anymore because I've got too many things going on, too many things on my plate. A real man, when he encounters failure or defeat, he doesn't quit and he doesn't get demoralized. I think that that's the key part of it, is that a man knows how to accept defeat or failure and knows how to use that failure or defeat to improve himself. Because what ends up happening with a lot of men who are not real men is they encounter failure or defeat and they let it consume them. And this may be when they're actually young, when they're a boy. It can be when they're a man. It can be a good, you know, there's some men who just have never encountered defeat in their entire lives. They've succeeded at everything that they've done. And maybe because they've avoided things where they weren't good at, so they were never going to encounter failure. But then finally life, and this is, I guess, another life principle. All men will encounter a failure or defeat in their life. You cannot run from it. You can't hide from it. You can't go off in the middle of nowhere and or hide in a metaphorical sense and, you know, hope that defeat and failure are like death. They have their own embodiment. They will find you. And ultimately and fundamentally, not for nothing, avoiding failure is a form of failure. Not trying is failure. This is like an army that refuses to take, that refuses to go to battle or go to war. The country's conquered. They were defeated without even trying to fight. Like, your lack of participation does not mean that you avoid failure. It means you failed by not even trying. And I think that this is where, you know, another thing I'm doing is I'm studying to be a personal fitness instructor. So I'm doing the NASM, NASM stuff. So I've read the book and now I'm doing the online course to kind of just improve my knowledge. You know, I've been dealing with that where I was struggling with one chapter and learning a bunch of stuff. And I just kept taking the quizzes and I kept failing. And I was getting kind of demoralized and said, you know what? I need to spend more time studying. I need to figure out how to remember this stuff. There is a way to do this, and I have to figure it out because this is something that I actually want to do. This is, and I've invested money in this. I've invested time. This is something that I'm going to get done. In contrast, you know, let me give an example of where I accepted failure and defeat in my own personal life. When I was living in the central part of the state, I was part of a volunteer fire district, and I, you know, they basically allow you to study and take the exam for firefighter one, which is allows you to be hired on as a firefighter. You are able to do that if you pass the written exam and if you pass the physical, like the live exercise exam, where they ask you to do all this stuff and then they grade you. Well, I spent time studying the book, and, you know, I read a ton of stuff about firefighting, and I took the test numerous times and I got about the exact same score each time. And I think it was the third time I didn't pass it. And I just said, you know what? I'm accepting that this is not, there was no shame. There's no embarrassment. I put in a significant amount of effort and time trying to pass this exam and it didn't happen. I said, you know what? I'm just not meant to be certified as a firefighter. For whatever reason, that's something I'm not ever going to be. And I'm okay with that. I gave it my all. I have no regrets. This was an opportunity that was in front of me, and I decided to take it. And that's the point. It's like you just say, did you give it your all? Did you give it what the effort that was needed for you to succeed? And then you let the chips fall where you may. A lot of guys don't do that. They half-ass it. They think that if they just put in the minimum effort, and then when it doesn't pan out, they, you know, like, oh, there's nothing I could have done. No, you could have done something else. Within reason. I mean, it wasn't like this was, I think part of it was the passion thing. Is like, I saw it as an opportunity, but I wasn't like, I have to be a firefighter. One of the reasons why is because I realized that firefighters are used very frequently for first responder calls that involve, nasty stuff. I've had friends in the firefighting industry who've responded to, you know, there's very nasty medical calls. There's dead people. There's people who've been just completely mangled in car accidents. And the stuff that they see, you know, they were telling me, it's like, you know, I wanted to be a firefighter to fight wildfires. I did not want to be a firefighter to haul a dead person's body out of a trailer after it had been dead for so long that the neighbors reported the smell. Like, that's just not, I'm going to get a little macabre here, but like, you can understand why I was probably less passionate than I otherwise would be. Kind of the same way when I was a kid, I wanted to be a detective because I had been, you know, reading the about, I don't know, Sherlock Holmes, but I was just interested in being a detective because I had that curiosity. And I had a detective explain to me what it's like to be a detective and the stuff that you get, all the wonderful things that you get to see that no amount of Jack Daniels will drown out of your mind. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go into another industry. So that's kind of the point is like, you know, people, this whole debate over, you know, what being a man means. And I think one of them is, and maybe I didn't even list that. Let's actually check. We're going to check the Googles. I'm going to check my website. My website sees. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? One second. My internet's been a wench. I keep getting kicked out. Come on, Xfinity. Do what you're paid to do. Okay, let's see. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I did a podcast on the Real Man episode. I probably came up with a list. You can go onto my website, tjmartinell.com. You can find it. You're all smart. My listeners are the most intelligent people on the planet, so I'm going to assume that you are all inquisitive, informed, knowledgeable people who are eagerly waiting for me to continue doing podcasts on my series on the life of William Marshall, which we will get to. I'm probably going to be that will be the next podcast I'll release, is the one on William Marshall. And honestly, since we're talking about real men's, talking about how real men keep things close to the chest. And I won't spoil anything. It's going to be a good episode. You should tune into it as you should tune into all my podcast episodes. So. Yeah, this is kind of my advice for particularly young men who lack confidence and stuff. It's like, I would say also on top of that, you push through failure with small wins. So if you're not succeeding at something, you're like, you know what? I need a small win today. I need something to happen that's going to just that's going to block out some of the negativity of failure. And so if you know, I think some of you know this. If you've had a bad day, you're like, you know what? I just got to have something good go. So you go get a good glass of wine, you get a cigar, you get some whiskey, or you go out and explore. You do something that just is positive and it's a goal, and you reach the goal and you've found success, and you know, it helps keep, because once you have that negativity in your mind, it's not good. I mean, to be honest, part of it is, you know, talking about failures, not failures, but just, I'd say struggles. It's not just failures and defeats, it's struggles. One of them is I'm struggling to write new stuff because I've kind of just burned out on writing. You know, I've written several novels, I've published a bunch of stuff, and I've got one novel currently that I'm still editing. And I think it's because it was a passion and I enjoyed doing it, but I also spent a lot of time over the years working on stuff that's never going to get published. I don't feel like, unless I was going to get paid to do it, because it just wasn't, I didn't have the direction that I needed. But I was just reading, I've been reading Solomon Kane short stories by Robert Howard, and I enjoy them, and I was thinking that that might make an interesting follow-up to The Pilgrim's Digress, which you can get on Amazon or at Terror House Press. Because here you have, I think it was Vince, my buddy Vince of Masculine Geek, he compared Amos Cavendish in my book to Solomon Kane. And I thought, you know, it might make interesting short stories to have it where these short stories take place before The Pilgrim's Digress. If you haven't read the book, you should read the book. You need to read the book. It is for your own well-ability. Yeah. Not on my game today. Yeah. You need to buy the book is basically what you need to do. Your life will be improved immensely when you read this book. And I was thinking some short stories that take place prior to that novel would be, I could do it more in a pulpy way and less in the kind of post-dystopian vein that I did with that one, where it really doesn't take place in this, there's not much of a spiritual realm. And which is interesting because it's a book about a theocracy, but the funny thing about it is there's very little there's not a lot of theology or spiritualism. It's more of a political book. And if you read it, you'll probably know what I'm talking about, where there's not a lot of like religious stuff in the book. You would have no idea what denomination these people are based on, you know, reading it. And they don't discuss like different viewpoints on religion. They're not discussing Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox, Episcopalian, and all that other kind of stuff. They're discussing more of like what kind of political order do you have? And so I thought, you know, we could kind of be a little pulpy with these, the short stories, and make it more spiritual, add in more of the supernatural, and, you know, make it a little bit more outlandish, but just, I guess, weirder, for lack of a better word. But I guess I've not found as much success in the publishing realm. You know, I've been selling copies, and I've had people tell me how much they appreciate my work, and I appreciate that. I appreciate people who appreciate me. Kind of like how I like to talk to people who like to talk. But I'm at the point where I want to focus on stuff where I'm finding more success. But I finally realized, you know what, this is where I kind of need to not give up and actually power through. So I will be working on that. I'll probably be working on that this weekend. Is I'm going to just sit down and have a smoke, have a drink, and then pound out some short stories about Amos Cavendish and his merry band. You know, actually, a Robin Hood motif might actually not be too bad for him. Is kind of seeing him as his band of merry men, his flying column out in the middle of the wilderness. So we'll see. We'll see. Stay tuned. All right. I think that's all we got for this podcast. Thank you for listening. You can go to, like I said, go to tjmartindale.com. You'll find links to everything you need. You are smart people. You will figure it out. I hope you're enjoying the good weather wherever it is, and hopefully gas prices are not destroying your financial affairs. So thank you for listening to the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, as always, TJ Martindale, coming to you from my war room and my Fortress of Arcana in the heart of Cascadia. Signing off.